Welcome to the Asylum. And now, your hosts, Rick Flieger and Rick Briggs.
We might actually pull this off 2 whole weeks in a row, Rick. Welcome back into the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show. I am your host with the most, the talent, Rick Flieger. I should start all that up again with the cool nicknames for you. The octogenarian, or what was the bloviation machine one? That was a good one. But anyhow, his name's Rick Briggs. Check out everything the show's got. Rick going viral this week, just irritating the hell out of Bears fans at Asylum Football on Twitter, asylumfootball@gmail.com.
Yes, and welcome back. And like you said, 2 weeks in a row.
That's pretty good.
Wow.
Actually, three. It's just nobody heard the first one.
True. That's true.
Well, they did. I guess they got to hear that trifling audio at the end of last week's episode if they listened to it.
Well, actually, it was me sounding okay.
Yeah, and, yeah, you didn't
sound
bad.
All right.
Yeah, but I'm very, very angry at Rick today, so that may be palpable. Apparently, Rick took the day off for, and get this, Flag Day. Raise your hand if you knew it was Flag Day, and number two, if you were off of work for it. How do you sleep at night?
Like a baby.
It's just infuriating. Flag Day.
It's the best day of the year.
So what did you? What is Flag Day?
Well,
is it just to recognize the flag?
Went home last night, you know, and we put up our Flag Day flag.
Oh, so there's a specific Flag Day flag.
Yeah.
Not just any normal, your everyday flag
doesn't work.
All right.
And, of course, then you have to put out, like, the milk and cookies for Santa flag because he comes that night.
Well, does he bring you? What's he bring you, flags?
Well, of course. I mean, what else is he going to bring?
I don't know.
Yes, he brings us little flags, you know, and we have, like, little American flags put on. And he has, like, this, he rides a magic flag.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it's pulled by 8 tiny armadillos. I mean,
armadillos.
Yes,
okay.
It's great.
So, do people in other countries, do they get U.S. flags? Do the children get flags of their country? Do they not have Flag Day?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't really matter because I live here.
So you're a historian. What's Flag Day? Is it just that? Just a day we recognize that we have a flag and it's pretty awesome? I mean, what is
well,
it?
Well, you're supposed to put your flag out to show your respect to the country.
Okay.
You know.
And you couldn't do that and then go to work. You had to have the whole day off to do that.
Well, I mean, you know, the work gave me the day off.
Well,
I really wanted to go in.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you were
however,
chomping at the bit. But
they said, Rick, we appreciate the dedication, but we're going to have the building locked. You don't have a key, so you're going to have to take the day off.
But I'm trying to picture, right, the entity for which you are employed or by which you are employed, what their thought process was that, all right, it's a day. We have to appreciate the flag. So we couldn't possibly have our people come to work that day, right?
Right.
Like
I
get Christmas, you're supposed to hang out with the family, and Thanksgiving, you're supposed to watch football and get drunk and fist fight in the backyard.
Oh,
but Flag Day, what is it you're supposed to do?
Well, I just told you.
Yeah, but why can't you then do that? How long does it take to hang a flag?
Well, it depends. I mean, me, it doesn't take that long.
Right.
Someone like you, it may take a while.
Well, I didn't get to hang one at all. I had to go to work.
You still could have. If you could go, if you're arguing the fact to me, why didn't I just hang it in the morning and then go to work?
Right.
Why didn't you?
Because unlike most people in the country, I didn't know it was Flag Day. I didn't know it was Flag Day until you rolled into the studio all disheveled and unshaven, making it clear that you hadn't gone to public yet today.
But if you have calendars at work.
I do.
They clearly, distinctly say on every calendar, Flag Day.
I don't believe mine did. Or if it did, I ignored it.
Well, that's probably the most reasonable assumption.
Because
right
one
now.
Wouldn't think, boy, Flag Day is coming up. So what else do you get? You like Arbor Day?
No, we don't get Arbor Day, but that's okay.
Canadian Thanksgiving,
I mean,
don't
know,
they have
I
their
like
own?
Trees, so, you know, they know that.
I
because,
like
you know,
trees.
Plants have feelings.
Do they now?
Oh, sure.
Oh,
you know.
Okay. Well, don't hurt their feeling.
Yeah, no. God, we don't want to do that.
Flag Day. Good Lord. It irritates me. So, oh, lots to get into today. I tell you what, short on news, of course, minutes, as always happens, minutes after we recorded last week's show, the word comes out that Dalvin Cook would be, and then the next day was actually released. Landing spot, Dalvin Cook? You have a front runner, you have a fair. Forget that. Where would you like to see him?
Boy,
or not like to see him, where there's rumors?
You know, it's it's really up in the air for me. I mean, it's like, because you look at some of the teams that, okay, you know, you see like Leonard Fournette is really not mentioned in Tampa right now. That would be a nice place, but Tampa's not very good. I'd hate to see him go there. I mean, and he has a lot of the say-so. So, I mean, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he's a free agent now. So.
Yeah, I mean, he wants to go to a contender, I would certainly assume. And, you know, and I just am sitting here trying to think of the best place for him.
Yeah, I honestly don't know what that is.
Wouldn't it be ironic if he went to the Jets?
Yeah. Thought crossed my mind. I mean, you got Breece Hall coming off that injury. He was off to a great start, right. You know, but you worry. You know, a rookie, same thing with Javonte Williams in Denver. You know, you worry about these guys coming off these injuries. And I think we take for granted now everybody is going to be on the Adrian Peterson timeline. We're finding out, yes, he was a robot. Like, he wasn't actually.
Right.
And maybe they can be back, but they're not the same player. But, you know, what I'm seeing, the teams that are being mentioned is what I don't like, right? You know, Miami seems to be chief among them as the team showing interest. I mean, look, Larry Zonka isn't coming back through that door, but just it feels like a crowded mess there. They keep bringing guys in. Everybody we decide at the top is going to be a, you know, a very relevant fantasy player. And just how many running backs do the Miami Dolphins need?
Well, that's the thing. If you add a Dalvin Cook, I think you'll see that they don't need nearly as many. And some of these guys that were brought up as, oh, he could be the starter this year. He's going to be relevant. Well, they're liable to lose a job, period.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you look at the depth chart, whatever that means in the middle of June, right? Probably about as much as Flag Day means. But have Raheem Mostert at one, Jeff Wilson at two, and then a Kane, right? And he's the one. He's the darling right now. Everybody's saying he's going to jump up and steal that job. You know, I suppose with that group, right, Dalvin Cook comes in and he's just that dude. He could be what he was in Minnesota, and Mostert fills that Madison role, I guess. I don't know.
Right. I mean, I don't know. Intriguing to me is why not Buffalo? The two Cooks.
Yeah. I think that's been mentioned.
I mean, you go down through – I mean, Cleveland's not going to get him. They've got Nick Chubb.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh's not going to with Najee Harris.
The one mention that I really don't like, and this is just for selfish reasons, it might actually make sense a little bit, is Dallas, right?
Yeah.
You know, we didn't get to it last week, but as it sits now, without Dalvin Cook being in Dallas, I think Tony Pollard is an absolute can't miss this year. I think this is a top five guy. From what we saw, getting all that work, having Zeke Elliott out of there. Now you bring Cook in. You know, and I think it hurts both their values, similar to what it did with Ezekiel Elliott. I guess we'll find out if he signs somewhere how much his talent and his skills have declined versus just how much it was being in that split and with what Tony Pollard was doing, getting less opportunity. You know what I mean? I could see Tony Pollard's going to still have to touch the ball a lot if Dalvin Cook goes to Dallas.
You know, and I saw, I don't know, it must have been a week or so ago. I think it was before or at, maybe it was after the show from last week. But one of them, I won't mention who it is, but one of the so-called gurus.
Oh, gurus. We like gurus.
Well, I mean, you know, it made perfect sense that Minnesota cut ties with Dalvin Cook because.
Genius, okay? No wife, no job, just pure football knowledge.
That's a guru.
It's guru.
Hauschka Mazzoli. Got it. Championship.
I don't remember why we tied those two together. It seems like a weird pairing.
Yeah, it did.
Anyhow.
Anyway. But, you know, the only saving numbers that Dalvin Cook had, this is paraphrasing, of course, was his immense usage. I got to thinking, you know, they were pretty pass heavy last year, so I started looking. He had the fewest carries in 2022 since like 2000 or basically ever.
Right.
And they've been declining. I mean, it's not like he's some 350 carry guy like they've been doing with Derrick Henry. And, you know, so of course I mentioned the fact.
Oh, I'm sure.
And I got crickets back.
Oh,
I mean,
all right.
So,
well, that's good. Usually,
yeah, we didn't get blocked.
Yeah,
but
usually people send you back like a picture of their crotch or something in
right.
response.
But, I mean, you know, if you're going to say stuff like that, you know, why don't you just – it's a little research. I mean, and it was, like, simple. You look on NFL.com or career stats, Dalvin Cook. It's not that hard.
Well, and I wonder, right, it could be a good conversation because here's what I don't know. Well, what I don't know a lot, but here's one of the many things I don't know was the usage down because the offense changed or because his skills were declining and the trust was lost. I mean, I don't know that, but I think you can have a conversation around that. But what you can't do is say the only reason he was any good is because of his – you know, I guess maybe you could phrase it differently that really when healthy, he was the only guy in town. Madison didn't see the field a lot when Dalvin Cook was healthy and playing, so he's kind of a true number one back. I mean, that's not what the guy said.
Okay, just for reference, you know, Dalvin Cook has always been thought of up until this year as one of the top backs, especially fantasy-wise, right? Well, you know, last year he did have a 4.4 yards per carry. But if you look, he's 4.7 for his career.
Right.
It's not like that was a drastic change, okay? He had 8 touchdowns last year. He did have 16 in 2020 and 13 in 2019, but he only had 6 in 2021. His receptions were down a little bit. He missed a few games
right
when Madison was in there. I mean, Madison put up decent numbers, but it wasn't like, okay, well, this guy's Jim Brown. We don't need him any mm-hmm. longer. So, yeah, I mean, his highest carries or rushing attempts in a year was 312. And that was 2020. He had 249 in 21 and 264 in 22. I mean, it's not like he's immensely being overworked. And
no,
at
no.
27, I don't, you know, I think there's plenty left in this guy.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I hope the situation, and quite honestly, Dallas might be a really good situation for him. I just hope it doesn't happen. I think it hurts both him and Pollard, both who
definitely,
could be.
Definitely, I agree.
Who should be top 10 guys if they're in the right situation.
Right.
So what do you make of you buying Saquon Barkley's bluff of holding out the season?
And the point is why. They have stuck with this guy through all these injury-plagued career of his. He has a great year last year, and now all of a sudden he wants to hold the New York Giants hostage.
Right.
These running backs are not going to learn, are they?
Well, and that's the problem, right? I mean, I actually don't think from what I've read, and you never know what's
cut
true
him loose
anymore.
And sign Cook.
Yeah, from it's a possibility. But I think you have the same issue, right? Because it seems they're not in that bad a shape in terms of contract value. They tend to be pretty close, if not agree. It's guaranteed money. You know, and it's just – it's unfortunate. And I'm always on the player's side on these things by and large. You know, coming off of, you know, the ACL, you're not going to get the guaranteed money. He's not old by any means, but by running back standards, considering you get 2 years and no matter how good you are, they want you out of town on the first thing smoking,
right.
They're not going to give him a pile of guaranteed money. So, look, I get holding out, but I can understand the sentiment, but the bottom line is if you're a fantasy owner, and look, this will all be cleared up before redraft leagues start up and start drafting. However, if you're doing some early drafts and you're in the Scott Fish Bowl, some of your best ball stuff going on now, whatever it is, I have no hesitation with him. I think Le'Veon Bell drew the blueprint of what that looks like, right?
Yeah,
Le'Veon Bell held out the season, signed for about the same of what he was being offered prior to the holdout, and was out of the league in a year. I just think you are gone and you are forgotten that quick. Even a talent, I'd argue Le'Veon Bell was every bit the talent of Saquon Barkley, and it's just been laid out. Look, it's a shame. I feel bad for these running backs. I actually think it's a little bit ridiculous that it's come to this point in the league, even that running backs are just a complete afterthought and we're not going to spend any money on them. You know, I can get not given the long-term deals because their careers can end real quick, maybe more so than anybody else. So I guess I understand that from the team's perspective. It's a shame that's the world we live in, but that's the one we live in. So I don't believe for a second Barkley's going to do this. Look, this is a good deal, right? So you sit out. You don't got to go to mini camp. You can sit out half a camp, get that rest. Then you come in, you'll sign that tender, you'll get going, right? Or maybe they get something worked out where he's got to give on the guaranteed money and maybe he gets a little more on the front end of the thing. I don't see a scenario after what happened to Le'Veon Bell. I give it to him. It was gutsy. It was ballsy, right? He was kind of a pioneer, really one of the first guys to do it all the way in earnest and not – how many – we saw guys would come back week 5, 6, they'd play right. That game. Le'Veon said, no, you don't give me what I want, I ain't coming back. But,
yeah.
So I give him credit for it, but it bit him. It bit
sure
him.
Sure did, yeah. Yeah, I'm with you in the same camp that I don't think he's going to stay away. Yeah, maybe he doesn't want to go to mini camp as well.
Right.
I mean, he is pretty much a proven commodity. And, you know, if he shows up for training camp and, like you say, they work a front-end deal, something of that nature, he'll be fine. He knows how to run the football.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and
– at this point, he's got nothing to lose. Maybe they will bling. I think it's a – 1% chance they would, but he's got nothing to lose right now. You know, once he gets into mid and late July, where it could start costing him every day, he's not there. That's a different conversation. But he's got all the leverage right now. Why not make a play for it? But I think there's been a big overreaction. Although I never thought of just tell him to go and sign Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just, you know, it is. I'm like you. You want to see the players get as much as they can. Look, I know they're all making a ton of money and so forth, but if Joe Blow's making $12 million and you're making $4 million, yeah, go for it.
Right.
I mean, I don't
know
what the situation he is, but
well, he's franchise tagged. I think it's going to be $10 million is what it's going to be, which I forget what the franchise formula is. It's the average of the top.
Top three, I believe.
Three or five or something. Yeah. I don't remember what it is.
Yeah, so, I mean, I can't see him getting much more than that in any long-term deal.
Yeah, that's what that's the issue. Right. He wants long-term guaranteed money. I don't see it coming. And he's got to know that. His agent's got to know that, too.
You would think so. I mean, and let's face it, in the last, 4 years, he's missed, 3, 6, 14, that's 24 games. In the last 4 years. And, I mean, that gives you not a lot of leverage in my mind.
Right.
I mean, he did have a pretty good year last year. There's no question about that. But we just talked about Dalvin Cook, you know, 4.4 yards per carry at 1,300 yards. Pretty similar type of year. Minnesota had no problem letting Cook go. So why does he think he has all this leverage with the Giants?
Yeah.
Granted, the Giants – are becoming relevant. They had a decent year last year, made the playoffs, and no small part in Saquon Barkley. But let's not forget, you know, that offensive line and the improvement of Daniel Jones. And so I don't know. I don't see anything, any kind of holdouts. I've never seen anything pretty come out of it, ever.
No. And like I said, Le'Veon Bell laid that groundwork. Something contract aside, you know, one thing I found interesting in looking at early draft ADP is just how high, before this news anyhow, Saquon Barkley had been going, you know, being mentioned in that top five. And look, when it's good for Saquon, it is really good. But I'm not sure I'd be as confident he's going to put two of those years in a row together, because frankly he hasn't done it yet, right?
No, I mean, he certainly hasn't.
You had the 2018 rookie campaign, you know, where he had over 1,300 yards. He had a bit of a regression in 19 down to 1,000 yards. His receptions went from 91 to 52. You remember that rookie year? I mean, he just owned everything.
Oh, sure.
You know, then you had the injury year, so we'll throw that out. The year coming back, you know, played 13 games, but only 593 yards rushing, only 41 grabs. And then the big one last year, I mean, this would be anomalous in his career to follow up a year like he had last year with another great one. I'm not sure I'd feel comfortable drafting in the top five or six of a redraft league jumping at Saquon Barkley. He feels like more of a turn guy to me.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I mean, right now, He's at three. He's there. He's bundled up there with McCaffrey and Eckler.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could say, well, you know, he's just got all that talent, and yet, why doesn't? I don't know. I mean, look at a Josh Jacobs. Quietly, just is a beast,
right?
And nobody really pays a lot of attention to him. I mean, granted, he's RB, what is it, six right now, but he's behind Jonathan Taylor, who had just a horrifying year,
right.
and is Indianapolis that much better this year?
It might be worse.
I know. That's what I'm saying. So, yeah, this early ADP stuff is way ahead of news, current news.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, something happens, somebody gets hurt, contract disputes, so forth. But, you know, it just brings to mind anything, especially like the Le'Veon Bells, even throw him out. You remember Chris Johnson?
Right.
A few years ago, he had the 2,000-yard season. He holds out for, I think it was kind of like the five or six, mm-hmm. like you did. He comes back, promptly gets hurt.
Right.
Johnson was never really Chris Johnson ever again.
He had that one RB2 type year.
Right.
Was it with the Jets, I think? Is that where he ended up?
I think it was the Cardinals.
Or the Cardinals, yeah. Maybe. Or maybe did he go to both? I can't even remember.
It could be. But
yeah, it was never the same again. And look, I like Saquon Barkley. I root for the kid. I hope he gets his money. I'm just saying I am not confident. I don't think he's a top five guy for me if I have a top five pick. If I can get him down at that 12 turns somewhere in there, 10 to 12. You know, right. I think I jump on him. I compare him with another player with maybe I'm crazy after that year last year. He feels like a question mark to me.
And he certainly should be, in my mind, down around the turn, you know, in PPR formats with your Jeffersons and Chases and Mahomes and so forth thrown in there. That certainly should be a safe place for him.
Yeah, and I mean, look, in a normal situation, his what did he have last year? 57 catches, I believe. Yeah, 57 catches. That should be pretty good. So, but I mean, that's a far cry from the 91 he had his rookie year, which is probably more of the anomaly. But you know, you're talking in a PPR league. I this is getting into a different conversation.
Right.
I tend to trust the wide receivers more now with those numbers and target share than I would a Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny that we had a little bit of an argument because I obviously didn't have PPR up last year. We were arguing back and forth. Justin Jefferson's down to five.
Yeah.
Overall. Yeah. Now you have McCaffrey, Eckler, Barkley, Bijan Robinson. And then Jefferson, Taylor, Kelsey, and Ja'Marr Chase all the way down at eight.
Yeah.
That is – I don't know, man. I would much rather – you know, the way they're putting up points in PPR and everything, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, over some of these running backs. It's just, you know, that the health risk is not nearly as great. Obviously, wide receivers get injured,
yeah,
but
man,
you just don't see
can.
Them go out
mm-hmm.
like the running backs do.
I think this will be interesting, right, as we get closer to August and closer to redraft time. But I think what we're seeing is a correction to the mean of the old school thought of the stud running backs are going to go earlier, right?
Right.
And, boy, we spent a lot of time into these microphones a few years ago making that argument. And, look, I'm not going to sit here and advocate for zero RB. I'm not sure I'm ever going to believe in that. But more and more as PPR becomes more prevalent, as the league becomes what it is, boy, I feel better with a premium wide receiver in that first round. Number one, kind of to your point, not always the case. Look, anybody can have a devastating injury at any time. They feel
certainly.
Like more of a sure thing. They're more bust proof for whatever reason that is. They tend to be more healthy. They're easier to predict too. It's kind of the safer bet. You know,
right.
you're picking in that top five. You can't miss, or there's no recovering it for it. Justin Jefferson feels like, save for a bad injury, the surest thing you can find.
Right.
You know what I mean? Where I think I think there's questions with Barkley. I have questions about Bijan Robinson. Go ahead, add Asylum Football on Twitter. Just savage us, because it's become clear on Twitter you are not allowed to say that. He is Jim Brown and LaDainian Tomlinson's love child, and any thought to the contrary right. will not be tolerated on fantasy Twitter. But, you know, Austin Eckler, maybe short of McCaffrey. I think Justin Jefferson's the shortest thing we've got this year, and I'm going to draft him accordingly given the opportunity.
You and me both. And we had that little bit of discussion last week. You brought up who is my overall right now, and it's Justin Jefferson.
Oh, yeah, when we pull the caveman order in that draft order, if I can end up with number one, it's going to be Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
Go ahead and write it down. And I am so sure about him, in fact. Normally when we do that, we have that weird way of doing it where we pick the order, and then you can pick your spot, right?
Right.
I don't usually want number one overall. I want it this year. I want it bad, which means I'm going to pick seventh. But
probably.
Because, you know, the years I get one is when I don't want it, and I'm taking six anyhow.
Yeah, and you'll take somebody that's a bust.
Yeah, I'll take Saquon Barkley after tank. Because I like to do that, too. I'll sit here and denigrate somebody on the show for three straight weeks, and then I'll panic in the draft room because it's the only name in my head, and I'll draft him. And then if it turns out I was right, the only time I'll be right on this airways is when I'm drafting somebody I said not to.
Right. But, you know, all these guys, they're pretty obvious, Rick. But, you know, there's other people right now that a lot of fantasy owners, you know, probably ought to start putting on the radar to keep an eye on.
We need, like, a Doppler sound if we're going to do this frequently.
I think that's a
like if we had a producer,
like the submarine, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's really not dead.
Oh, he's not?
No, he's not. He's in Romania.
Oh, Romania?
Yes.
What's he doing there? Is it the dance thing again?
No, it's not. Oh.
Is he hiding from the law?
No, it's a research mission.
Oh, okay.
Yes, he's looking for vampires.
No
so
kidding.
Where do you start but other than Romania?
Is that where Transylvania is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why is he looking? What's he hoping to accomplish?
What was he hoping to accomplish with interpretive dance? Well, I don't know.
I thought that was a career. So he's just looking for vampires. So you find one, it's just like, yippee, I found a vampire.
Well, with his producing skills, hopefully it'll be just a wonderful documentary.
Well, that's true. That could be, yeah, the lens cap will be on the whole time. The audio will be terrible. It'll be pretty good, actually.
Well, you don't even need a lens cap. All you need is one of those little green lights and go, whoa, 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 what was that? What was that? You know.
I still like the Ghost Bros. I still watch it. They got a new season out now.
I still think going video, that's what we should do. Get some of those little gizmos that can, you know, find that energy and all this kind of stuff and just go around to some of these old buildings and everything. They got to be haunted, right?
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Where I work is butt haunted.
Yeah.
I could tell some stories. There's weird stuff I can't explain.
Well, yeah, I'm sure it is.
All right, we'd probably get you down there for one day to do a ghost busting if we had to do
it. Oh, I'd love to go down there again. Yeah. Well, anyway.
Oh,
anyway,
yeah.
Talk about on
the
radar. I'm going to come up with one right now, just to be honest with you.
So would you categorize this as sleeper? So, again, right now, we're not talking to you dynasty guys. We know you know who all these people are and have them stashed. These are your redraft dummies.
Yeah, no, I don't really necessarily think they're sleepers, Rick.
Okay.
But I think maybe the average guy that, you know, is waiting for the magazine to come out and so forth, not really privy to what's going on.
Ooh.
And
so you're going to make them privy.
Yes.
Consider yourself privy.
Jerome Ford. You know, he's clearly the RB2 behind Nick Chubb in Cleveland now that is it Dimitric or Dimitric Felton?
I think it's Dimitric.
That's what I thought, too, but I wasn't sure. Anyway, that Felton's taken a step back. He's actually now working with wide receivers. And if you're not familiar, Ford, he transferred from Alabama to the Cincinnati Bearcats in 2020. And last year he amassed about 1,319 yards on 215 carries and 19 rushing touchdowns and dumped in another score and 220 more yards on 21 receptions. You know, Ricky's 5'11", 215. He's got 4.5 speed and pretty good hands. You combine that Kareem Hunt's out of the picture.
Or his brother, Calvin. He was pretty good,
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
he'd be glad he's not in town.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, everybody's – all the competition's out of the picture. And it's basically him and Chubb. there's some potential right there for some significant fantasy points.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see if maybe, probably not, because I doubt Chubb even suits up in camp anymore. That's a shame, right? In preseason games, they don't even dress the top 40 guys anymore.
And I'm glad they don't.
Well, I get why they don't, but it makes it hard. Is Ford going to fill that Hunt role, or is he going to be a true backup? I think no matter what, this speaks really well for Chubb if he needed spoken well for, right? He's not even going to lose what little bit of work he lost to Hunt last year, I don't believe. And so that becomes the question is, I wouldn't feel confident right now that Ford has any standalone value like Kareem Hunt did. I mean, obviously a good handcuff if you're into that, if you're into handcuffing people. A good roster stash, if you have a roster spot at the end of a draft. You can get them for nothing. You might be fighting for them on the waiver wire at some point. So if you've got room in a bigger league, you can get them and stash them away. I'll be curious. You don't see a lot other than that he's going to be the number two option. Is the number two option in Cleveland, is that just the role that Hunt played, or was the number two option so viable because it was Kareem Hunt? And that's what I can't answer right now.
I can't either, but I just see that, of course, the dynamics changed totally now with Deshaun Watson under center.
Right. That's another thing. Yeah.
Don't really know what to expect. There could be a lot of rollouts and dumping off to the backs and so forth. We know Chubb can catch. We know he can run.
Right.
And, look, Chubb arguably in me is one of the best backs in the league.
I'd feel better with him in front of Barkley right now.
Yeah.
If we want to play that game.
And, you still have to give the guy a blow now and again. I mean, I just think Ford is just right now too valuable to overlook totally.
Right, yeah. All right, so for my first one, Rick, player under the radar, it's almost the exact same situation, only I feel a little better about this one, and this is Keontae Ingram in Arizona. Being listed number two on the depth chart right now. But I think there is more chance to take work away from a James Conner. He is, traditionally been banged up a little bit. And I think one thing we forget, as long as he's been good the last couple of years in Arizona, but we saw in the end in Pittsburgh behind a bad offensive line with what was really a bad offensive team, he struggles there. He doesn't have that takeover ability where he can put the offense on his back and make it happen. He is a really, really good piece in a good offense. I think we saw that early on with the Steelers. We saw that early on with a healthy and playing well Kyler Murray in Arizona. So I think he's going to struggle in general. I think he's going to get banged up because I think they're going to have to rely on James Conner a lot. And at some point, Keontae Ingram's going to take – he's going to get the opportunity. And this is what I'm looking for. And we're looking for somebody under the radar. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I have any scouting report. I watched any film of Ingram when he was at USC. I don't know who he is, where he is skill-wise. I'll just be completely honest with you right now. When I'm looking for somebody under the radar, when I'm looking for a sleeper, when I'm looking for a late-round draft pick, it's opportunity. Keontae Ingram is going to get opportunity. He's clearly the number two. He's got Corey Clement behind him. We've seen that show before, right, in Philadelphia and a little bit last year. He'll flash a little bit, and then everybody will remember who he is and why. But I think there's going to be starts available for Ingram and then the opportunity to get a grasp on that and turn that into a true RBBC. Whether or not it happens, I don't know. But this is a guy I would be glad to stash in the 13th, 14th round of a redraft, 12-team league.
Yeah, it's very similar situation, although the Cardinals are worse.
Much worse. Yeah.
Connor's not nearly as good as Chubb.
Right.
And that, to me, actually lends more of a positive for Ingram.
At least an opportunity, right?
Right.
That's all I can promise you, dear listener, to channel Myron Cope. The only thing I can promise you is he will get opportunity. I can't promise you Ford will.
Right.
If he does, if he has to, it'd probably be more successful with a better quarterback behind a better offensive line and a better offense. He'll probably be quite successful. But if Nick Chubb stays healthy, he might not ever see the field, or very rarely. I can't say never.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, as far as Ingram goes, as far as opportunity, look, I think that they have Corey Clement still on there. Yeah, he's nice to have on, but he's not ever going to take a game onto his shoulders or anything like that. So, I mean, he's just an experienced guy. He's good to have. I mean, I'm right with you. I think as far as chance at opportunity, he's probably the leader.
Yeah, and we get it, Dynasty guys. You know everything about Ingram and Ford. We're talking to Joe Sixpack, looking for that 13th round pick, looking for that guy, that dude.
Exactly. You know, here's one here that, you know, I'll probably take some heat for, but, I mean, right now, ADP, he's wide receiver 60 going, and that's DJ Chark. Hey, he's clearly been relatively ineffective since his injury in Jacksonville. And, you know, he's with another new team, but he's actually entering 2023 healthy. He's with Adam Thielen, who Justin Jefferson, we talked about that last year in the interview. They were saying, I'm going to give you some people on this team, and you give me a one-word answer that pops into your head. And when she asked Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, he said, mentor. Well, that's just what they need. And, you know, Thielen's actually going to help in the possession thing. But Chark provides some big playability. And, you know, they have Mingo coming in. He's going to have to get acclimated. I just think, especially early on in the season, you're going to get him for nothing anyway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he's just somebody just, you know, stashing a bench. If he's looking like, I mean, right now he's a wide receiver too. He's going to get some catches. If he starts showing some of the play, you know, big playability a little bit, you know, well worth it.
Well, and that's who he is, right? So, you know, this sounds dumb and easy to say. It becomes about what Bryce Young is going to be, and oddly to me, it's how effective is he going to be, is the Bryce Young to Adam Thielen connection going to be, right? If that works, if he's relying on Thielen and Thielen becomes that target hawk, that's going to soften things up, that's going to shorten things, and now we're doing DJ, a healthy Shark, what he does best, right? Getting deep, getting over top of a secondary, and putting up, I always go back to this, those Mike Wallace stat lines, right? Three catches, 85 yards and a touch, something like that. And so I think it's there. You can get him for nothing. He's probably not going to be drafted in most leagues, you know, in an average size 12-team league. You can get him for nothing. You can stash him away. You know, if something happens to Thielen, who he is certainly possible at his age, you know what I mean, with his usage. You know, there'll be something there. You know, I don't see him popping. I don't see him working himself into an everyday, you know, wide receiver three type of role. But, you know, in a deeper league, this is the type of guy I think I look for, right?
Yeah, and a lot of it's going to depend, just like you said, on Bryce Young and how quickly he can get used to it, start building a little chemistry with these guys and reading defenses and so forth, which is always tough for rookies. Let's be honest. But, you know, having some veteran help in there can certainly help him along as well as them.
So. Absolutely. And I think having a target-heavy number one makes that job a whole lot easier for who's going to be number two in that offense. All right, last one for me, Rick. I think, you know, this feels a little too easy. It's a rookie, you know, but, again, we're talking to your average player. Keep an eye out on Sam Laporta, tight end, up in Detroit, right? So they trade away T.J. Hawkinson last year, and I don't think – they certainly don't have on the roster now anybody else to fill that role, and it is a role they relied on heavily. A lot of what they did in the red zone, you know, was going to Jamal Williams so many times. I think they're going to struggle comparatively anyhow.
Certainly.
Williams was just a battering ram. If you got inside the five last year, he was going to finish. You have some good wide receivers there, so this is going to create good matchups in the middle. I've got Laporta right now already as a low-end tight end one, and I think he's going to get forgotten about, and people are going to reach for Darren Waller, and you're going to see guys like – Njoku and guys going ahead. I think Laporta could step up, and if his role becomes, you know, what it's possible. I even look at Jameson Williams being suspended, you know, early in the year in Detroit. It gives Laporta a chance to work in, be that number three option in that offense. I think this is a guy who you can get late, almost with a tight end two price that could perform as a top 10, as an easy tight end one, if not, you know, in the top five or six of tight ends. I think, again, just opportunity is there.
Exactly. Keep your eye on Laporta for sure, because, look, Aaron Rodgers has gone out of Green Bay. Detroit already took strides last year, leaps and bounds, as far as being a legitimate team. Chicago's still not that good, probably somewhat improved this year. It's Detroit and Minnesota in that division. Yeah. And, you know, they're going to have to score points to beat Minnesota. So, yeah, I mean, I think that it's a different ball game in Detroit.
And I saw a tweet today that has me convinced 100%, Rick, that Detroit is winning the Super Bowl this year.
Oh, my.
So Denver just wrapped up their first ever NBA title.
Right.
Vegas just wrapped up their first ever Stanley Cup last
night.
Everything in the world happens in threes. So Detroit's going to win the Super Bowl this
year. Detroit and Cleveland in the Super Bowl.
That'd be pretty awesome, as long as Detroit just stomps a mud hole in them then at that point, because I don't need those toothless hillbillies ever having anything to celebrate.
Well.
You know, 50 years of living on that one LeBron series, that's all they need.
Yeah, when did the Indians, or the Guardians, when did they win the last?
It was in the 40s.
Yeah, they were in the 40s. The Browns, of course, they've won NFL
championships. They won NFL
championships.
Yeah, yes. That was in the 50s.
Right, maybe early 60s, I can't remember, but it was pretty much Green Bay and Baltimore and so forth.
Right.
You know, then. Yeah. Wow. And, of course, you
they
know,
don't have a
hockey
team.
Yeah, let's forget that.
Mm-hmm.
That would be great.
If they did, that hockey team would suck too, I guarantee you that. So they had the Cavs there a few, what was that, 2017?
Something like that,
16,
yeah.
17.
You know, in Detroit, you know, known as Hockey Town, and it has really baffled me, I mean, getting off the subject, how long the Red Wings have been down.
Right.
I mean,
yeah, hockey's better when Detroit's good. I hate them with a passion
as
a Penguins fan, but hockey's better when Detroit's good.
It definitely is. But, okay, let's get moving here. We've got to stay with fantasy football here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we don't roam off anymore.
Well, we do.
Yeah, I got to do that. I got a lot on my mind, Rick, that's not fantasy football related. It's
Tell me about Oh, yeah, I told you the story last week. Go ahead.
Oh, when you fell through the deck?
Yeah.
Yeah, you maybe we'll just tell that again. Just
no,
lead
what's
every
on your
episode
mind? I'm
with that.
I'm concerned.
I had Taylor Swift on my mind.
Oh, yeah, I knew you were going there.
Yeah, yeah. So
you're a Swifty.
No, I am not a Swifty. But
I think you are.
But my daughter is. And so I managed to run the gamut and procure tickets before they were $2,000 a piece, which I ended up profiting a little bit. But that's a whole other conversation. I don't need the feds hearing about that one. But able to get her a couple tickets. Well, clearly I'm not going. And her mother's not going. So, you know, taking a friend with the two tickets I have remaining. But just got her driver's license. I can't send her to Heinz Field or Acrisure Stadium, whatever the hell they're calling it this week. So somehow I still got to get her down there.
And then bring her back.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do in the meantime?
I don't know. But here's the thing.
You can't very well head to a bar.
No.
Give the kids a ride home.
Yeah, that would eliminate the point of not letting them drive if I'm drunk and drive them back. And here's the thing. I didn't realize this. Could you imagine this? Was there anything? You grew up like in the heyday, the golden era of music, right? Yeah, everybody stinks now. But I've been reading, they're doing this bit because she's doing it in football stadiums, right? So they're all outdoors. So they're already selling 90,000, 100,000 seats because they figure the stadium holds 70 or 80, and then they can however many people they can squeeze on the floor. And then all the people who can't get tickets because you can hear it outside, they're saying on average 30,000 people then go stand outside the stadium to listen to it. So there's going to be 120,000 people. When you've been to Acrisure Stadium, there ain't a lot of room down there.
No, there's not.
I don't know how this is going to work.
I don't either.
But this is a nightmare.
It's true. You'll have to go early.
Well, yeah, that's something. I'm going to take a half a day of work.
When is that?
Friday.
Oh, this coming Friday?
Yeah, like I'm in the...
Oh, so we're talking 2 days from this. Okay.
Yeah, from the time we record. And I don't have it figured out yet. I don't even know the approach.
I take the whole day off and head down at 9 o'clock in the morning.
And do what?
I don't know. Well, go sightseeing with your daughter.
No, but I mean even when the concert's going on.
I don't know what. You'll have a parking place. Just sit in your car.
For 12 hours?
Hey, you do what you got to do for your children, yeah, right?
I don't know. I might.
I wouldn't do it, but you know that.
Well, it's something I didn't think through, right? I did make a massive profit, though.
You didn't think it through.
Had the pre-sale got in, you could buy up to 6 tickets. So I laid it out and bought the 6, gave her 2, sold the other 4 at a generous stipend on top of what
awesome.
I paid for them.
That's awesome.
I might become a ticket broker. That might be my next bit.
You know, we went down, where was that? When was that? I can't remember. Anyway, my wife and I went with my oldest daughter and fiance down to Pittsburgh. And, well, we were spending the night. So, we had a room. We parked at the hotel. Took an Uber everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way to do it.
Well, I don't think you're getting an Uber down there. I'm guessing I ain't going to be the only cats that need an Uber.
How many
Ubers are there?
Well, you're Rick Flieger. You're a celebrity.
Well, that's true. That's true. There should be a Rick Flieger button on the Uber.
I would think so. Yeah. I mean, it just makes sense.
I've always been creeped out by Uber.
It is weird.
Random dick picking me up in his Celica.
I don't like it. I've
done it, but I don't like it.
Well, actually, we were fortunate. The ones that we took, we had one was like a, not a, roughly something like a Blazer, bigger, bigger SUV.
Oh, Rick Briggs rolls in the Uber X, I see. Yeah. Regular Uber for this guy.
Well, that's who showed up, and then another one was another sort of SUV. I didn't have to cram into a little, Chevy Spark or anything like that.
Well, that's good. That's good. I don't know what any of that had to do with anything, but.
Well, just people need to know that you're a Swiftie.
Yeah. I don't think that's true.
But anyway.
You said her name too many times, Rick.
Yeah, it's what happens.
You remember what we used that for? Yeah, we're going to turn that off. I'm not even fading it. It's just got to go.
Yeah, really.
But we used it a lot, and I remember you get really mad. So towards the end, I was using it just to piss you off, but there was a reason initially that we had it.
I can't remember. Now, I know why Mariah Carey, it's the Christmas song.
Just because it's the greatest Christmas song ever written. That just stomps a mud hole in Bing Crosby's ass, that song.
Bing. He never had to worry about being had a mud hole stomped in him.
Well, that's good. He'd womp you first from what I've heard. Bit of a violent side.
Well, old Bing, he didn't have to put up with anything.
Apparently not.
It's kind of like Goodfellas, Paulie moved slow. That's because Paulie didn't have to move for anybody. All right. Got to do a little thing here. We talked about, people not being on the radar.
All right.
Here's some guys that are on everybody's radar, you would think it's the second coming.
There is a lot of it. This is the time of year for that. I love overreaction June and July. It's kind of my favorite time in fantasy football.
Yeah.
We all forget that we said it come September. No, I never said that.
Right. Now, I'm just going to ask you point blank. In the last 2 years, he's missed 8 games to injury. And he's had multiple concussions. You in or out on Tua?
I hate to say it. I love the kid. I'm all the way out. How can you trust it, right? I cannot stand, and there's been the rare occasion this has happened, when you are terrified watching a professional athlete do his job, that with every hit, with every bump he takes. Because these weren't severe hits he took. Those were some scary situations. And I think the Dolphins in the league are going to be equally protective of him. You know what I mean? So when he's right, boy, what we saw last year with those wide receivers, with Hill, with Waddle, how dynamic that offense can be. I don't have any faith whatsoever that he plays 8 games this year, right? He's missed 8 the last couple. I almost see it happening again. And this is this is one of those situations. When I say I'm out, I don't know what his ADP is, but I'm not going to draft him where it needs to be. If I could get him and pair him with another one, it'd be worth it for the time he's in there. But doesn't it just feel like, God, I hope it doesn't happen, but doesn't it feel like at some point in October
right now he's quarterback 11.
Yeah. See, I would take him there. And
we'll play the game.
All right.
Number 12, right behind him, Daniel Jones.
See, I'd risk it on Tua.
Kirk Cousins.
Kirk. I feel safer there.
Your boy, Geno.
You know. But you know what I brought? No, I'd take Tua over Geno. Just because I couldn't take the mockery if I took Geno.
Aaron Rodgers.
I think we need to talk about Aaron Rodgers at some point in depth. What is that sound?
I think it's something.
I don't know what it is.
In the other room. It sounds like a phone ringing or something.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Hold on. I have no clue what
it's
that
not
is.
The doorbell, is it?
I wouldn't think. I don't know. Who puts a doorbell in a radio studio? Do we even have one?
I don't know. It's weird.
Anyhow, so.
You know, it's, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's.
I mean, I guess he's being his draft spot is reflective of these concerns and not his talent and upside, right?
True. Hey, Derek Carr. I mean, I don't know. In New Orleans, I think I'm taking Carr.
Yeah, I'm
he's
excited.
He's down at 20 right now.
Yeah, that's where I think you take Tua and then get Carr in the 12th round. And
right.
If Tua does so,
I mean,
go
yeah,
down.
It's certainly doable. He's certainly worth.
He's worth where he's being drafted if you right. compare it to ADP. But in general, my thought is I don't have any visions of going into my fantasy season with Tua as my quarterback.
Right.
If I do what I tend to do and wait too long on the quarterback and I'm getting down there and, you know, the 11th or 12th guy taking a quarterback, then all right, I'll take two. I'll come back a round or two later and take a Derek Carr and take my chances, and I got that high upside. But, again, I just don't have visions of him being my guy.
Right.
All right, let's see. Did I put any of these together? Oh, yes, I did, Rick. All right, so
it's
first
amazing
one.
You did.
In or out, Rick, and this is one I feel like the hype train – I don't know if this is me perceiving it or it's real, but I feel like the hype train is long with Calvin Ridley finally being back in the league and heading down to Jacksonville. Rick, are you in or are you out?
Oh, Rick's in.
Oh, and you've always had a soft spot for Ridley.
Yeah, I do like Calvin Ridley.
I think he replaced Roddy White, and we know the guy love you had for Roddy White. And so,
and
I
justifiably
think,
so,
well,
I must
well, certainly.
Say. But, no, I think certainly – I am in on Calvin Ridley. If he is 85% of the Ridley we saw before the suspension, he's certainly the best wide receiver on Jacksonville.
Right.
It's a good team. It's a playoff team. Trevor Lawrence has turned into a very good quarterback. I mean, he came through a lot of knocks. And I tell you what, they showed a resurgence last year. Finishing up whatever it was to be 9-8 and make the playoffs. And Calvin Ridley is just going to make that offense that much better.
Certainly doesn't hurt. I am not as bullish as you. So this falls into the – similar to Tua, there's kind of two discussions here, right? So right now he's coming in at wide receiver 26. So he's a wide receiver 3. So – you wouldn't have a hard time convincing me, based on everything you just said, that he's a wide receiver 3 and maybe even a top-end one. Some of the guys behind him surprised me, right? Tyler Lockett, Christian Watson, Deontay Johnson, Mike Evans. There's some other guys behind him. Here's my trepidation with Calvin Ridley. He played 5 games in 2021 before he had the injury. And then he was suspended right. all of 2022. That's a long time. Not playing the game of football,
it
not
is.
Having a competitive practice, not having a good game. You know, he joins Jacksonville. Like you said, Trevor Lawrence is on the come right now. I haven't bought in as deep as everyone else has. I could be wrong on this. I may well be. But I'm not convinced. You know, what Ridley has going for him is you got Christian Kirk on one end who's kind of a deep threat, and it shouldn't be hard to beat Zay Jones out for opportunity. So – I think where he's being drafted, if I can get him as a wide receiver 3, I don't think in my traditional home league I'm going to be able to do that. You know, maybe in an expert league we'll be able to get him at that. I'm more cautiously optimistic. I'll say I'm in, but I'm on the low end of in if there are different levels of in.
All right. Well, yeah, there are, obviously. I mean, if you're out on somebody, that means – you really don't even want them on your roster.
Yeah, yeah. I got a few of them.
Yeah, no doubt. So, okay, I mean, that's certainly, you know, valid because he hasn't played for a long time. I'm highly optimistic, but, you know.
That's what we know. That's what you're known for is your unending optimism.
It is. It's true. I mean, I am probably, in fact, one of our league mates commented this past week that the last time I was positive, Aristotle was alive.
Oh, well, that's...
So, and I really hurt my feelings,
yeah,
as
I'm
you
sure.
can tell.
I mean, you're a very sensitive type.
I am.
Sensitive soul.
All right. Run-heavy Tennessee Titans. Ryan Tannehill is your quarterback. Coming off an injury, Treylon Burks.
World of talent. I don't like his situation. Right, I think that's the biggest thing. You know, you named it. You know, Ryan Tannehill. I don't think Tennessee's going to be very good this year, but somebody got to catch a ball, right?
Let me put a caveat into it.
All right.
Okay, so basically, you're lukewarm in, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
What if DeAndre Hopkins signs with Tennessee?
Maybe more in. Right?
Right.
I don't like a guy with question marks being the guy, you know, and am I mistaken that a healthy Burks is the guy in Tennessee?
Pretty
the
much.
The one defenses are trying to take away in an offense that I already don't trust, and he's, you know, already had an injury-plagued rookie year. Yeah, you can be a DeAndre Hopkins down there taking the attention away, and then Burks can run free a little bit. I'd feel better about him then.
Right. Yeah, and we saw it before with Juju Smith-Schuster. When Antonio Brown went, I mean, you know, Juju was, oh, wow, he is just fantastic. Well, when Antonio Brown left, all of a sudden he was the guy. Obviously he wasn't the guy.
Right.
And that makes a world of difference. And there's nothing wrong with being, you know, a wide receiver too. I mean, you can't always just count on miracle numbers from somebody once a star is gone. And I think now with, say, a Hopkins coming in, that makes Burks more valuable.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely.
I no doubt about it. When you look at the names around him, you know, Westbrook Akeem, Kyle Phillips, Racy McMath. I didn't know that was a person. I'm probably going to get killed for that.
That is awesome.
But apparently that's a person, Racy McMath, Chris Moore. You know, there's so many question marks there. So he's going to get opportunity, right? He's going to be the, you know, after Derrick Henry, he's going to be the first, middle, and last option on every read. But I think defense might know that too. I might feel better with him on the other side of something. They've got to bring somebody else in, right?
You would think so.
He can't be competing for targets with a guy named Racy McMath. People are going to be so mad. He's going to be the new Ajayi. We're going to find out this guy's the second coming of Randy Moss.
Right.
Actually, I need to learn all I can about Racy McMath.
Ajayi.
I got to learn everything I can about this McMath fella.
No doubt.
Went to LSU, so that's good.
Yeah.
All right, Rick, here's a guy currently being drafted as the running back 18, so a solid mid-level number two running back, J.K. Dobbins. Felt like last year we were supposed to believe he was going to be Barry Sanders 2.0.
Look, they led the league in rushing. So, obviously, he's going to be great. But, oh, Lamar led the team in rushing.
Right.
It's not Dobbins. And I don't care what they say about it's going to be pass first, he's going to be a pocket passer. That ain't his game.
No.
And he goes back to pass, just like we said. If they're not running the football, a design run play, which Dobbins had – not that many carries last year. I don't have them in front of me. I don't even know what the total is, but it certainly wasn't the, you know, workhorse style numbers from a running back. He goes back, he looks for Mark Andrews and run next.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just as simple as that. And so, yes, I'm in on Dobbins. And where's he being?
Running back 18.
That's a RB2. Yeah, I wouldn't cry having him as an RB2. We could play the game. I'm not sure who's around him. I don't have that up in front of me. You do.
Yeah, yeah, but I can take a look if you want to do it. So,
but, I mean, I could certainly have, you know, a lot worse people at RB2.
Yeah, you could, but I think you could do better, too. But let's go ahead and do it. So, right behind him, Miles Sanders.
Sanders.
Damian Pierce.
Pierce.
Dalvin Cook.
Cook.
Cam Akers.
I might go Dobbins.
Rashad White.
I don't like Tampa this year. I thought I still might go White. I'm not sure. That's close.
DeAndre Swift.
Dobbins.
James Conner.
Eesh. Probably Conner.
David Montgomery.
Dobbins.
Javonte Williams.
Dobbins.
The last one, this one surprised me, Alvin Kamara.
Oh, come on. Well, it depends. Obviously, there's a guy on the radar. Find out what's going on legally.
Yeah.
I mean, if he comes back, Kamara.
Yeah, yeah. So anyhow, with those guys you put ahead of him, that pushes him to an RB3. And that's why I'm going to say, oh, look, if I can get him as an RB3, I'm in. Yeah, that's
right.
Awesome. But I'm not going to get him. I'm going to have to pay RB2. Look, this is a guy that only four times in his career has he had more than 15 carries, right? For all the reasons you said. He's just they run him back by committee no matter who is there, and Lamar Jackson takes a lot of those carries. And I don't care what they say, you know, he wants to run the ball less. That'll last about two games. And
right.
Then there's a reason Lamar Jackson is who he is, and running the football is a big, big part of that. So there's going to be less designed runs, but there's going to be more designed passes that are going to lead to runs. He's not a PPR guy. You know, in a standard league, maybe we're having a different conversation. You know, he projects around, at best, 25 receptions, and that even feels high to me. But that's where he's projecting at. He's not going to get more involved in the passing game. It's not who he is. Plus, they bring in all the wide receivers. Plus, Mark Andrews is still the top one. I just don't see where he gets enough volume to even have an RB2, a trusted RB2 value. And let's not forget the health issues we've had, right? He's been unhealthy, you know, a good part of the last, at least last season. And so for all of that, as an RB2, as a starter, I think, which is where I'm drawing the line here between in and out, I'm out on J.K. Dobbins.
All right. It makes a lot of sense. And here's one. Right now, ADP-wise, he's not really flying up the boards. It's all the hoopla that you see on Twitter and so forth by, you know, the quote-unquote experts that – you know, this guy is just going to be awesome. And, you know, Dalvin Cook's gone. You have Ty Chandler, rookie Dwayne McBride in Minnesota. You know, are you going to count on Madison? Or, in my mind, I think it's RBBC.
Yeah, I think it is. Look, it's Dalvin Cook at his best is about as good as it gets. So, in a lot of ways, that might push against the argument I'm about to make. But Madison had a lot of opportunities. Dalvin Cook's been in and out of the lineup. You know, he missed, you know, the better part of 2020, 2021, getting, 23 touches a game or so, 32 touches a game, I forget what it is. And, you know, he projects nicely in that role. But there's just a reason, right, that he was the clear number two, and when Dalvin Cook was healthy, he was hardly seeing the field whatsoever. And so maybe for a season he can do it, and that's what we're talking about, redraft. We saw him do it in that 2020 season when Cook was out with the injury. I'm going to say I'm in as a low-end RB2. I think right now his ADP has him at a 3, but I think it's just taking time to catch up from,
right,
you know, from him being taken as a handcuff to Dalvin Cook early on to being taken. And, you know, I've seen, you know, I hate to keep going back to Twitter, but I've seen mock drafts that people are doing where he's going, you know, in the third and fourth round at times,
right,
which – you know, I didn't study them, would tell me he's going as a low-end RB1, high-end RB2. I think I'm in at a low-end RB2, which by the standard I just set makes me in, but I'm not convinced he's going to, you know, you see some people saying he's going to light the world on fire. You're not going to convince me of that.
I still go back to the same team. You saw what happened when Adrian Peterson left Minnesota.
Right.
There wasn't one guy. You had McKinnon and, God, I forget the other guy, the guy that took all the touchdown hawks at the goal.
Matt Asiata.
Yeah, Asiata, yes. And they're never until Dalvin Cook showed up, there never was, you know, that guy mm-hmm. again. And
we'd have that debate every year. All right, who takes this job right. over? Nobody. Yeah. Nobody ever did.
Exactly, because you have to be of Dalvin Cook-like right. caliber to be in that role. Mm-hmm. I mean, Derrick Henry goes out. Just not one guy is going to take that place.
No.
I mean, we've seen that. Even in Carolina last year, I mean, you see somebody like McCaffrey leave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Foreman had a great run, but Chuba Hubbard had his right. too, and he had plenty of catches as mm-hmm. well.
Yeah, and I think that's the situation you see here. So anybody trying to convince you he's an RB1. Now, I will tell you, based on pure talent in the small sample size we've had, I can't sit here and tell you I'd be stunned, but I'm not going right. to count on it. I'm not going to trust it, you know.
Right.
He's going to be drafted too high. Like, he'd be the ideal. He wouldn't even fall into that. If you were going zero RB, he would never last long enough for that. But
well, and that's the thing. You have to know your league and what strategy you can actually go with.
All these crackheads we draft with, I almost guarantee he goes in the third round, right, just because it's the big news. I think I named two of the teams that would likely do it as well. I think you know who they are.
I know who you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very possible.
Always got to be three rounds ahead of everybody because that's what good fantasy players do, and that's why the amount of championships that dummy has rhymes with hero. Anyhow, last one, and we're going to get out of here, Rick, and I'm going to tip my hand. I am out, so far out. Kyle Pitts, but I'll let you go first.
I'm out. I can't help it. Look, the guy's a freak athlete. He's got tons of talent. It is a horrible team.
Yeah.
And now we have Desmond Ridder for a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't necessarily translate to total disaster. Ridder may acclimate himself okay and be, you know, a decent quarterback that relies on the tight end. And bully for him if he does, you know, look, we'll be wrong.
Right.
But, you know, right now, after what we've seen so far out of Atlanta and Kyle Pitts, I can't go in. Right now he's at tight end 6.
No. Uh-uh. Mm-mm. No, and I've fallen for it 2 years in a row, you know.
Yes,
overdrafted, you have. Overdrafted 2 years in a row, and I've been left scrambling or essentially having that whole – look, this isn't a Kyle Pitts problem. I do not view him as a bust. There are just too many things that are going to have to change in Atlanta for his outcomes to change. You know, number one, Dynasty guys, come and get me. I'm not a big believer in Desmond Ridder. Look, he's kind of cool. I like him. I like his game. I liked his game in college. I hope he does splash. I get a little Brett Favre vibe from him. You know what I mean? I think he could be fun if they cut him loose. But look, it's not even close. They throw the ball the least amount in the league or they did last year.
Right.
You know, how much is that going to change this year? And another thing I have seen is, so that means they run the ball a lot. And so you bring in Bijan Robinson, and we talked a lot, I think it was last week or it was on the Lost episode, of how much I think Cordarrelle Patterson is still going to have to touch the ball and be involved in that offense. And then we're talking about Drake London as being the next great breakout star.
Right.
And so all of these things, now they're going to have to throw the ball more. We're going to have to trust essentially a rookie quarterback. I know he played a little bit last year. But then here's the other thing. It's Kyle Pitts' usage, right, for whatever reason. And maybe it's because they don't have the talent around him at the wide receiver spot. See, I think people get mixed up in this where from you'll hear fantasy folks talking about they're excited when we're going to split out a running back or we're going to split out a tight end. And Kyle Pitts spends a lot of time being split out in a wide receiver position. I think you're giving up the natural advantage of Kyle Pitts going over the middle against a linebacker versus going up with someone as much as bigger as he is, you know, a faster, more skilled defender in a cornerback. And so now we're going to have to say the quarterback's going to have to pop. The entire offensive philosophy is going to have to change, and his positional usage is going to have to change. That's too much change for me to expect to happen right away with any type of success. So I'll be honest. This is the one I'm going to say I'm just avoiding him. You know, just completely. And give me Sam Laporta, right? I'll take that. There's guys in that realm. Give me T.J. Hockenson, the guy he's replacing. Look, I hope he pops. This guy has every bit the ability to be Antonio Gates. He really does, but there's just too many things are going to have to be different.
The biggest positive for me in 2023 for Kyle Pitts is the fact that they have six games against crummy teams
in a
terrible division.
Right.
But that's not enough for me to have him at tight end six.
Well, and that division is so bad in no small part because Atlanta's a part of it.
Why? Exactly. True. All right.
Boy, it was about time to get out of here.
I believe
I'm kind of hungry. You know, I screwed up. I didn't have any bed music queued up, so we'll do that. Ooh, there we go. That's a little one. So thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week. I don't know what we're going to talk about. This is the tough time of year, so we're just going to blunder on. So if there's anything you want us to talk about, anything you want to hear, at Asylum Football on Twitter, asylumfootball@gmail.com. We'll be back next Wednesday. Until then, we'll see you.
Hey, take care.
Hey, you hit the post there like an old school DJ. That was good. I like it. Wonder if we could do a music show.
Oh, I would love to do that.
Like WKRP in Cincinnati.
You know, that was my nickname, buddy.
Lonnie Anderson?
No. Oh. Johnny Fever when I lived down in Florida.
Called you Johnny?
I look like him.
I guess you kind of do.
Lots of people. I mean, I had the mustache, I had the long hair, always had the shades.
You should get the long hair back.
I would, but, you know, there's not much of it to grow anymore.
But what's there?
True.
You could still get a ponytail out of it.
That's true. But, you know, then it's kind of like, yeah, look, it's a cue ball with a ponytail. I mean, that's just not.
I mean, I'd make fun of you, but.
Well, yeah.
But I make fun of you.
I had to grow it like George Washington. You know.
You won't wear a powdered wig.
Well, that's true. That was a wig, wasn't
it? Yeah.
Well, I thought, it couldn't have been a wig because he was bald.
They all wore powdered wigs.
No, I think that's just the judges and stuff, wasn't it? When they
were
formal. All right, let's get out of here.
Oh, yeah. I'm hungry.